world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and certainly online and mobile at TuneIn as well. We're online and mobile at Listen Live. You go to our website, there's a place to listen to the show live. No BSP needed. This is a story that we uncovered. Now, I know...
Are you going to finish the story of the Burroughs, or do I have to go completely ape?
Margaret, I was the one.
No, I was the one that was going to tell the story.
I was the one that was going to tell the story, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Mr. Henry was, not you. You people are talking like you're talking like you don't even smell when it comes out.
What? You know something, Bud? I'm not the cleanest thinking person in the world, but when you try to say something, it comes out of your mouth like a bunch of little demons. You know, it flows out of your mouth a mixture of vomit and the devil. I don't know.
A mixture of vomit and the devil.
Yes, that's right. That's what I said. God.
Well, you know something, Margaret? The only thing that's demon-like around here is what you leave in that bathroom.
That serves you right.
Boy, you did twist him.
I didn't twist him. I pinched him.
That hurt.
No, it didn't.
All right. So, anyway, welcome back, folks.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I'm not doing anything about it. If you laugh at somebody, Bud, and you go, ha, 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 like that.
Yeah.
You got to expect that they're going to get pissed off.
Why? Because, man, because the way you're going, ha, ha, ha.
What are you talking about, man?
Bud. You know full well that you went, ha, 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 to piss people off.
No, I was just saying, ha, ha, ha.
Hey, man, you know what? You're a liar, man.
No, you're a liar, man. I'm telling the truth.
You're a liar, man. You're going, ha, 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 because that's what... God.
Bud, hold on. No, I'll handle this. Bud, now listen. When you are looking at someone and you go, ha, 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 you know that you're trying to make them angry, right?
No, not really. I was just going, ha, 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 ha.
Well, why does it come out like a song?
What do you mean a song?
Why did it go...
Easy, General.
No, I've got this. Don't worry. Why did you go, ha, 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 ha? Why'd you do that?
Huh?
Hey, Bud. No, I've got this. Bud, I'm going to hold my temper for the first time in my life. I'm going to hold my temper. Why did you go, ha, 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 ha?
General, I don't know what you're saying. You sound almost like your mind has been wrecked. You know?
I'm telling you...
General, just go walk it off.
I gotta go walk it off.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing to keep from crying, Bud. You ever heard that old saying? I'm laughing to keep from crying.
I'm walking it off, Bud, just so I don't have to kill you. Save me from a homicide charge.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there like you're too stupid to understand what anybody's saying. You were mocking Margaret. That's why she pinched you. When you went, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, mocking her. Yeah, now I know what you mean.
Well, why the hell didn't you admit it when I said to you... Oh,
General, no, hold on.
I said to you, Bud, you went, ha, 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 and you said you didn't know what I was talking about, that I sounded like I was about 300 yards of a mental deficient Special Olympic... I'm going to go practice it. If you go, ha, ha, ha...
Yeah, you go practice that, General.
I think the General needs to...
Don't say it, man. All right, welcome back to our show, Burroughs.
Yes.
All right, as I was saying at the beginning of the show, my dad was a salesman, and my father sold business machines for most of his life. He sold a lot of things, and he was a very good salesman. And one of the things he used to say is, because we were talking about what it's like to go out into the world and have to deal with the world when you're making a living, and being a salesman is about as man, that's about as in the front lines as you can be in the whole free enterprise game. Those guys are front line. They're right there. They're having to sell someone, trying to get someone to buy something. And my dad used to say, boy, what a day. I'd say, well, what happened, Dad? Oh, I went into some place and there's some dumbass there in some overalls. And he didn't know what the hell I'm talking about, you know. And
so your father had to pretend like he liked some guy in overalls.
Well, I mean, he had to pretend like he liked some guy that was a dumbass, I think, more than anything. I don't think he cared that the guy was in overalls. But he worked for a time for Burroughs. Burroughs was a business machine company, too, and it was a big one. I would say that it rivaled. There was a period there where Burroughs, the Burroughs Adding Machine Company, I think it was called, rivaled NCR, might even have made a run at IBM at some point. And that was the Burroughs family, of which William S. Burroughs, the writer of Naked Lunch, the beat writer, the friend of Jack Kerouac, the friend of Allen Ginsberg, that was his family. He was a ski-on.
Yeah, what that we say a guy's a ski-on. Is he like the heir?
Yeah, he's like an heir to the fortune. And William Burroughs, however, the family disowned him.
Now, they disowned him after he wrote the Naked Lunch book.
Now, let me ask you, I just came back. You people didn't notice I've been sitting here. And
where'd you get the popsicle?
I went out and I bought it before the show. No, you can't have this. I bought this as mine.
Ain't that part of the show stash?
No, we don't buy popsicles. Can we have one?
No, you may not have one. I bought them for me.
Oh, what a baby. We can't even have one.
No, all right. Go get your popsicle.
Not now.
Man, this is damn good.
Cut it out. Tell him not to do that, Mr. Henry.
He's entitled to enjoy his popsicle.
You like orange popsicles, bud?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this is delicious.
All right, General, would you knock it off, okay?
Just trying to get back at this jackass. When you were saying ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, and you didn't want to listen to me, now I'm saying to you, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
General, you should go in for a thorough diagnostic.
Hey, watch it now.
Yeah, so William Burroughs was one of the heirs to the Burroughs adding machine fortune. But when he wrote Naked Lunch, which is truly, I read that book. It's a crazy hallucination. It's a fantasy based upon it's a fantasy in which a police state is using junkies and drug dealers to extract information, life force, sexual energy from the various citizenry and victims of their evil, you know, empire. It's like a Kafka novel set in a hallucination. And
what that mean?
I can't describe it. Okay.
Well, you're talking about Franz Kafka. I know all about him. He was what do they call him?
A writer.
There you go. He was a writer.
Yeah, that's what he was.
Man, these double stick popsicles are great.
Cut it out, will you?
Will you knock it off, General? So William Burroughs was the author of this incredible book, Naked Lunch, which, as was the case with so many of the beat writers in the 50s, this book got banned.
Well, of course it got banned, Phil. It had some of the most vulgar and vile imagery in it. And I am artistically very liberal, and I know that we're talking about the beatniks. So maybe I want to rethink what I just said.
By the way, you don't want to call them beatnik. That's a Time magazine.
What?
Beatnik was a Time magazine word. That they called themselves Beats. B-E-A-T-S. The Beats.
Yeah, I bet they did.
That's pretty good, Dickman. I like that one. Boy, these popsicles.
All right, guys, please. So, yeah, so the Beats, man, and that was William Burroughs. And so there's the Burroughs Adding Machine Company story. Now, coming up, we have a couple of stories that are fascinating. One of them has to do with new laws about e-cigarettes, and we don't care about that. What we discovered, what I discovered, and what I told you about a few weeks back was the, I think I mentioned this, actually, on Facebook. I don't know if I talked about it on the air. The ability, ladies and gentlemen, for you, if you were of a mind, to smoke marijuana in a restaurant in California until they just passed these laws. I'll tell you all about it when we come back. But up to the point where these laws were passed now restricting e-cigarettes, you could smoke dope in a restaurant.
What?
Yeah, well, Mr. Henry talked about it.
We're going to get Jeff Dowder on the line with us to discuss all of the ramifications about the new e-cigarette laws. When we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, we're live and mobile at philhendryshow.com on Listen Live, live and mobile on TuneIn. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. All right. This is a story that is pretty interesting. Jeff Dowder is going to join us to talk about... do we have him at the same time now?
Yeah, Doug, he had another commitment.
Okay, man, take it easy, will you?
What is it with you, bud? You never can end it.
I'm just trying to be heard over all of the cacophony of it.
Well, now, get a load of the big word you're using, huh? Look at the big brain there on Bud.
Yeah, that, remember that from Pup, from, was it Pup Fiction?
No, it wasn't Pup Fiction. No, it wasn't.
Well, what was the name of the movie, man? It was Pup Fiction.
No, it wasn't Pup Fiction.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was not.
What was it?
I'm not going to tell you.
What was the name of the movie, Bud?
The movie that I saw that had John Travolta was Pup Fiction.
No, it was not Pup Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
Yay! Atta baby.
So, big deal. It's an honest mistake.
Yeah, I guess it's an honest mistake if you've got, like, you know, one brain, you're one brain shy of what the rest of the human race, well, never mind.
Man, you butchered that up, Miss Henry.
Yeah, Phil, you had him where you wanted him, and you let him get away, stumbling over your tongue like you're some stumble bum rummy.
Thank you very much for that.
Well, I'm just calling it the way I see it.
All right, so anyway...
Oh, you were going to say that the general sounds like a rummy.
No, I was not going to say that. No, I was not. All right, the Phil Henry Show here, philhenryshow.com. Now, I think Dowder's on the line, right? And he'll be talking with us about the changes in the e-cigarette laws. And he'll be talking with us here about how that affects not just tobacco smoke, but how does that affect the use of e-cigarettes when it comes to marijuana. That's right. You can buy these filters in the medical marijuana dispensaries, and these have hash oil in them, or they have some type of cannabis.
Well, what do you mean hash oil? This is what?
Yeah, it's processed that way.
So you can have... What about the marijuana? What about that?
Well, it's cannabis sativa. Cannabis is the active ingredient. So it's either a hash oil or it's some kind of an oil or a rosin that is in the filter, and then you use this, you smoke it, etc. Now, the thing that is very interesting about this is that the smell, because I have witnessed people lighting up these cannabis e-cigarettes, and I've watched them smoke these in restaurants, and nobody is any the wiser.
You gotta be putting me up. See, that's the part I don't understand.
I'm telling you, no one. Now, the city of Los Angeles, and let's get Jeff Dowder on the line with us here from Temple City, California. Jeff is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. He also operating Dowder's Snow Patrol, which is a snow plow for the city of, Huntington Beach.
I got that squared away.
All right, you're going to have to speak up a little bit, Jeff.
Yeah, Mr. Ray, I said I got that squared away, too. And...
Oh, you did get it squared away.
Yeah, we got it pretty well squared away, yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad you got it squared away.
All right, I realize I'm being redundant, but I'm,
What do you mean, redundant?
You mean redundant?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry, I meant redundant. What happened is the son came home from Seattle and saw his parents and just went, something's got to give. Boom, 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 boom. Okay.
What are you talking about? Are you,
He's talking about the murder in San Juan.
Ain't that what you wanted to say about?
No, I want to talk about the e-cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, well, I can do both, Mr. Henry. I can go kind of like that joke that Mr. Wireman was telling yesterday about, I can swing both ways so long as there ain't no jockstrap. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, that was a very crude joke, and it doesn't really benefit us, you repeating it.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you gotta clean it up a little bit.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, we are talking here with Jeff Dowder, and where are you right now, Jeff?
Right now I'm just covering for a friend of mine at the pet store in Studio City Pet Store.
You're covering for a friend. Oh, you're working the counter?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We are talking with Jeff Dowder here. Well, what are you laughing at? I'm not laughing at anything.
I know it's funny. It is kind of funny that I'm sitting here at a pet store and I do teach mechanical physics at Caltech, and I've got a lot of skills. But a friend of mine just said, can you cover for me while I go out and get some Red Man? I said, yeah, so.
So your friend just went off to the store.
You want to get a bag of Red Man?
Yeah, that's all he's going to. Just go get a bag of Red Man.
Okay. Well, we're fine with that, Jeff. I mean, it's fine. All right. So let's talk about this situation with the e-cigarettes in the city of Los Angeles, and how all of this is going to play out. What the prohibitions are. What are the, what are the parameters of this new set of laws that will make it more difficult, I guess, to smoke these electronic cigarettes? Where's the story, bud?
Right there.
No, man, I mean, we printed the story off, I thought. Anyway, here it is on the screen. Can you tell us a little bit, bud, about, or excuse me, Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, I mean, what you're dealing with here is an approval of some sweeping e-cigarette restrictions in Los Angeles, and I think it's going to happen across the country if it not now already has been happening. The city council approved these regulations. They would treat e-cigarettes like conventional cigarettes after one of the really pretty personal debate. It was a 14-0 vote. They outlawed vaping. That's what they call it, the practice of inhaling the vapor produced by e-cigarettes in most work sites and in the public place and in the parks and in the recreation beach, in the beachal areas, you know.
What is a beachal area?
I'm sorry, I mispronounced it. Beach, in the parks and in the recreational, the recreational area of a beach. Lawmakers voted to continue allowing e-cigarettes use in so-called vaping lounges where patrons can try out the various e-juices. Yeah, I'll bet they can.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I got some e-juice for them to try out. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, that's great, man.
All right, I'm sorry, but...
Can we just get the information and leave a lot of this crudity to later on?
Well, I'm not trying to be crude or anything, but I think that we're talking about a political fight here, Ms. Gray, and I really think people need to choose sides on this, because even if you don't smoke cigarettes, there's nothing harmful about a vape, and people that are vapes. I'm a vape, and so many of the people I know are vapes. And
what is a vape? Is that somebody who uses an e-cigarette?
Well, a vape is someone who not only uses an e-cigarette, but uses the e-cigarette for cannabis purposes. And as a vape, and as a very, I'm a very militant vape. And
yeah, if you're going to be a vape, you got to be vape all the way.
Exactly. So when they outlawed vaping, and they told the vape population of the city of Los Angeles, you can take it and pound it sideways up left, that threw the gauntlet down for so very many of us.
All right, so the vaping lounges, but all other places illegal.
Yes, sir, and they narrowly defeated a push by the e-cigarette industry to let the practice continue in 21 and over establishments like a bar and a nightclub. So, I mean, that to me seemed reasonable. The anti-vaping, and really this is the anti-smoking lobby that hasn't even bothered to educate itself on the science of this. They just went ahead and just banned it like a whole bunch of like the fascists that they are.
What about the smoking of marijuana?
What about it, man? I mean, it's illegal, you know.
Okay, so the reason why I brought this up is this their way of making sure that not only are cigarettes or these e-cigarettes using tobacco banned, but should there be somebody attempting to blast up some cannabis, that they can keep that from happening as well?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You bring up a very good point. I don't want to make no comment about, nothing, but let's just say that I know somebody that smoked it liberally, e-marijuana or e-cannabis cigarettes, and they, just like you said, man, they're doing it in restaurants, and it's everything there's, it's everything that you can do.
All right, it says here, Councilman Joe Busciano spoke of relatives' decision to turn to e-cigarettes after years of smoking. Council President Herb Wesson, in the most passionate speech of the day, described his decade-long addiction to cigarettes, a habit he told his colleagues would almost certainly kill him one day. Wesson said he began smoking because he wanted to be cool. The debate brought to light the strong views on each side of the e-cigarette debate. This guy, Wesson... He brought up his decades-long addiction to cigarettes. What's that got to do with anything, in the real world?
Yeah, well, see, that guy Wesson, and when I was talking to one of the reporters, I said, have you ever used any hash oil? He goes, no. I said, well, maybe they ought to use some Wesson oil. You know, Mr. Henry, because of this guy Wesson.
Right. What did that refer to?
You know, the hash oil and how his name's Wesson.
All right, so his name is Wesson, Wesson Oil. We get that, but what has that got to do with anything?
I mean, are you kidding? You know?
Yeah, it's Wesson Oil.
All right, hold on for a minute. I don't want to get bogged down, bud, okay?
You don't want to get Wesson Oil.
I get what Wesson Oil is. I don't see how it's relative to what we're talking about. Jeff Dowder with us as we discuss the e-cigarette ban here in the city of Los Angeles, most likely the e-cigarette ban that is going to be spreading across this country, and I'm sure it's in many, many other locales, how it's going to affect the smoking of medical marijuana. And also, we will talk a little bit about this murder in San Juan Capistrano, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Isn't this a light, lilting song? Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And philhendryshow.com. Jeff Dowder with us from Pasadena as we discussed briefly there the e-cigarette ban in Los Angeles and elsewhere. I don't know. Do you know any other cities, Jeff, right now where it's being banned?
Well, I mean, e-cigarette's not being banned.
No, but I'm sorry, but the use of it?
Yeah, it's being in a lot of other cities. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Give an example of some of the cities.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Probably would be in Seattle.
No, but where definitely is it being banned or being discussed?
Yeah, it's being banned probably in Seattle and.
Well, do you know that for a fact?
No, I do not, Mr. Henry.
Then why do you say that?
Well, because it stands to reason that Seattle. I mean, Seattle's one of those cities that's got its nose, you know, way up its own. You know, if I could say up its own a-hole, you know.
Okay, that's fine. You're giving me an opinion. I wanted to know if you know for a fact.
Well, I'd be willing to bet, you know.
It doesn't matter, Jeff, if you're willing to bet. Do you know for a fact?
I'd be willing to bet it.
Do you understand what we're saying to you, Doubter? We're asking you, do you know for a fact?
Have you been to Seattle, General?
I've been to Seattle, yes. It's got nothing to do with it. Do you know for a fact?
Yeah, because see, they got their nose so far up the arsehole, it ain't even funny, you know. And
okay, look, Jeff. In other words, you don't know.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
No, you don't know, man. If you don't know, you don't know.
I'd be willing to bet, though, if you want to bet on something, I would be willing to bet that there are a fair number of cities that are going to enact these kinds of laws. Which cities they are, we're going to have to wait and see, and comment. At that time.
Can you hold on, Mr. Rennie? I'm giving the cockatoos their evening feeding. That's okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, but we got to get moving. We got a couple of stories.
I understand that, yes, sir. Just giving the see, these are tropical birds. Yeah, okay. Okay, here you go. Here you go, yeah.
What kind of birds are those?
I think I just said cockatoo, man. I mean, do I hear an echo in here?
Oh, yeah.
The cockatoo is,
That's the one on the Fruit Loops box, isn't it?
No, the Fruit Loops box one is what is the one on the Fruit Loops box?
Is that a macaw or something like that?
Macaw, man, that's a country.
I'm sure, Mr. Henry, they named it after a country.
No, it's the one on the Fruit Loops box with the big beak.
Yeah, that's that's the Fruit Loop. That's a parrot.
That ain't a parrot.
Yeah, it is.
No, that's not a parrot.
No, in the Fruit Loops box.
The bird on the Fruit Loops, I'm looking at one right now, man. Okay? I'm looking at it right now. And
why don't you ask it? They know how to talk.
Oh, wow, man. Because they know how to talk doesn't mean they know.
But because they can talk doesn't mean they can tell you where they're from.
What?
Because they can talk doesn't mean they can tell you where they're from.
No, Bud, the bird, you have to train it to talk.
Yeah, I know, but then can it say stuff?
Yeah, it can say stuff, man, but it's not originating with the bird mind. It's got to come out of the mind of a human, and then it goes into the bird mind.
You're making it way more confusing.
Look, Bud, the bird, it's for a parrot to talk, it's like a trick. It's like a dog that walks on its hind legs. Have you ever seen a dog do that?
Yeah, I seen it on TV one time.
All right. Dogs can't do that unless they're trained to do that. Parrots are the same. And minor birds and birds like that, they have to be trained.
Yeah, but then what are they... Okay, you train them, but how do they know what to say?
You tell them what to say.
Well...
Yeah, all right, man. I mean, you could say to it, hey, okay, you come from Canada. Say that. You come from Canada, right? And you'd come into the store here, and it would be going, hey, yeah, I'm from Canada. I'm from Canada. Are you trying to tell me, man? You'd go out and say, yeah, I just heard the bird tell me it's from Canada. Would you say that?
If it said it came from Canada, I'd say, well, is it true?
Well, who would you ask that of?
The bird.
But I'm going to have you put in a nut house, okay? I think I need to have you committed.
Yeah, no kidding, man. 72-hour observation, man. 72-hour observation.
Yeah, you should be observed, too.
Bud, you can't possibly be that stupid. The bird doesn't know where it's from.
If I go into this store where Jeff is...
I've had these conversations with him before. You know?
Look, Dickman, I, you know me. I don't give up on you, bud, because I know somewhere inside that empty brain of yours is a mind that's hiding, but we can find that mind. Your mind hides in the darkness of your head, in the darkness of your skull.
All right, thank you.
So anyway, I'm looking right at it, and this is a Fruit Loop bird here, and...
We're not going to call it a Fruit Loop bird. Somebody... What's it called?
A toucan.
Okay, Nikki just said it's a toucan.
What?
It's called a toucan.
That's it, Nikki. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
A toucan.
What's that?
The bird that he has.
The bird here is called a toucan. Whatever toucan do.
You're an idiot, man.
No, bud, you're the idiot. It's called a toucan.
Yeah, so the next time you buy a box of Fruit Loops, which I know you do on a regular basis... You know?
No, I don't. No, I don't, man.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You eat kid cereal, man. You might as well tell people.
Okay, I'm all through with this jackass conversation that you guys are having. I want to move on to a very, very sad story. And this is this kid that was arrested in his parents' killing in in San Juan Capistrano. I say kid. He's a college student. And this is the Sachs family. What can you tell me about this, Jeff?
Well, you know, the OC is a place that has sort of been my second home for a long time, and although I don't profess to know the upper crust area of the OC, I come like where you come from, Mr. Henry. I come from the Gap, you know, San Gabriel Valley, but I've been going down to Newport Beach, Huntington Beach, Laguna, and places like that ever since, you know, when I first started to be in the breathing air, you know, when I wasn't, in other words, after I got out of being fed by my mom and I became an air breather. I shouldn't say an air breather.
You mean after you were born?
Yeah, after I was born. And it's a very weird place, man. You know, the OC is a place where you often wonder, you know, well, what, you know, what's next? You know, a lot of high-profile murders. Now, this kid, he's the 19-year-old son of the Sachs family. His name's Ashton Sachs. And his dad, Bradford Sachs, and his mom, Audra Sachs, well, guess what? They was found dead on February 9th inside a 9,000-square-foot San Juan Capistrano home. Can you feature that? 9,000 square feet, you know?
How big is that? Is that pretty big?
That's huge, man. That's huge. That's a big damn house, okay? You know.
Yeah, it's big.
It is. It's moderate size. I wouldn't say that it's that big.
Well, what would you call a big house?
Phil, I've been in some homes that are 20,000 square feet.
Well, all right. I mean, you're talking about Palm Beach and where the Kennedys, not, but for a Southern California upper middle class upper middle class family, that's pretty big.
I'll give you that, but I have, as I said, I've seen bigger.
That's what she said. Well, I apologize.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
I apologize, Mr. Henry. Mr. Henry?
Yeah?
Ms. Gray, I apologize.
All right, I accept your apology.
Yeah, I apologize. Okay?
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
I mean, you guys teed it up, though.
Whether I teed it up or not, we accept your apologies.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what about this kid?
Well, this Ashton Sachs, they arrested him. He was living in Seattle, not living at home. But this was a really terrible, terrible thing. There were two teenage girls. They was fine, but then they arrested the kid. So, and there were, they found no signs of forced entry. That's always what they're going to say. Hey, guess what? Inside job. I'm Jeff Dowder, and this is the crime. I mean, I'm not. Would it be okay if I locked out like this is the crime report?
I don't want you to do that, okay? I'm listening to chipmunks in the background or whatever the hell that is.
No, that's the toucan.
Well, okay, this pet store is driving me ape. I thank you very much. We're going to have to let you go, Jeff.
I'm sorry. I'm still waiting for my friend Bran to come back with the red man, so I don't know.
All right. Thank you very much, okay?
Yeah. Oh, hey, and Mr. Henry, there's another one.
Okay, Well, he was going to say something. I don't care if he was going to tell me that I'd hit the Irish sweepstakes. It was driving me nuts.
Well, why don't you tell these people before you get... I don't know how many times I have to say this.
Yeah, Margaret's always saying, why don't you tell the people before they come on the air not to be around wild animals or in an area where you're going to hear, you know...
I can't control necessarily where our guests are going to be. I understand what you're saying. I tell them we're going to be on the air, so make sure that you keep the background noise to a minimum. But when you're talking to people who are not professional broadcasters, that doesn't mean too much to them. They figure, okay, I'm in a room, and I guess you can't really hear, you know, I can hear them fine.
Yeah, they're not professional broadcasters or nothing like that.
Oh, I see, like you are, huh?
Yeah, I am. I'm way more professional than Doubter. He's sitting there with a chipmunk.
Well, I don't know what he was sitting there with the pet shop there. See, that the thing that bothered me about that, Bud, is that he said that he took over for his friend.
Well, yeah, he's going to be at home.
Right, but then his friend said, hey, can you cover for me while I go get some Red Man? And it happens to be right at the time that I'm interviewing him. That's all I'm trying to say. Okay. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, some really weird stories here. Two charged with enslaving an Ohio woman. They are found guilty. Two people charged with enslaving an Ohio woman and saving arms for 40 years and counting. Dr. Frank Job, whose passing we noted on the program last night, kind of an interesting article here on Dr. Frank Job and the number of careers that he saved with this groundbreaking surgery, where he was transplanting a tendon from the elbow into the... from the arm to the elbow to the arm, or...
The elbow to the brain?
Yeah, something like that. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Or nothing at all.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Live and mobile at Listen Live, live and mobile at TuneIn. Beijing-bound flight.
This is fascinating here.
Beijing-bound flight. Art Griego is going to join us here in a moment. And General Shaw, you certainly can join in this discussion. A Beijing-bound flight from Malaysia missing.
This is a very interesting case. I haven't heard of anything like this since the Twilight Zone, which, of course, is a fictitious program. The Twilight Zone that I did see where the plane went missing.
Well, all right. And then we also have the Bermuda Triangle. But this is an actual story here tonight, folks. And I'm giving you the news as of 13 minutes ago. A Malaysia Airlines flight carrying 239 people from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing is missing. And a search and rescue operation has been launched. Now, online with us as well from Santa Monica Airport, a man that we often bring on when it comes to aviation and so forth. And tonight I know you're having a small craft exhibition. Art Griego. Hello, Art. How are you?
Well, good evening, Phil. It's a very, very tense night tonight, that's for sure.
What do you think is going on with this flight?
Well, I agree with the general. It's an interesting conundrum. This is a Boeing 777. It's got, I think you said it is carrying 227 passengers. This is not a small aircraft. And in general, I know your experience with Air Force. What would you say? That so much of our time is spent trying to tamp down these rumors about alien abduction and what do you call the Bermuda Triangle?
Well, that, you see, that's a very good point, Art, and I've been privy to a great many Air Force reports, and I've certainly been privy to a great many panels where we've discussed the possibility when you do see UFOs and this kind of thing.
Yeah, and so I right now the jury's out, Phil, but you are absolutely right. I've been monitoring this. This Malaysia Airlines flight, 239 people, is missing, and a search and rescue operation has been mounted.
But,
what?
Well, he said mounted.
That's okay, bud. Don't worry about it.
He can say mounted when we're talking about...
I'm sorry, did I make a mistake?
No, not at all. Gentlemen, my question to you would be this. If you lose contact with an aircraft, isn't that simply the fact that you've lost radar contact? Isn't it then safe to assume the aircraft is down somewhere?
Well, do you want to take that, Art? Do you want to throw it to me?
I'll go ahead and lob it to you, and then you can fire it back at me.
All right. Could you restate what you said, Phil?
If you lose radar contact with an aircraft, isn't that pretty much because the aircraft is down? The plane has either landed somewhere or it's crashed.
Well, I think that's a very negative view of what you... we're talking about the possibility, Phil, and only the possibility that it was sucked into a vacuum or a vapor. I understand what you're saying, but I think we've dismissed for too long the idea that a tear, if you will, or a rip in the fabric of the dimension we live in. And Art, I'll go ahead and lob it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, General Phil. Yeah, I agree with the general. If there is a tear in the skirt of, not the skirt, but if there's a rip in the socks of reality, what am I saying? If there's a
tear in the dimensional.
Yes, if there's a tear in the dimension, but I'm trying to liken it to.
Well, if there's a tear in the rear end of the pants of. I'm sorry, I was coughing, Phil. If there's a tear in the rear end of the pants of reality.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, Henry, you can.
By the way, I don't like being called Henry. Okay.
I'm sorry, Phil. Phil, you can laugh.
Well, you gentlemen are saying there's a tear in the rear end of the pants of reality.
I would hope that you gentlemen will be a bit more sober. There's a very real possibility that 239 people have lost their lives.
I'm sorry. That's a very good point. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Phil. So, you know, have a little respect.
Hey, don't tell me to have respect. You guys are talking about a tear in the pants of reality. What's that got to do with anything?
Wow, get a load of you getting all bent out of shit. What's your problem?
What's your problem? Why don't you tell me what you mean by that?
I'm telling you, Phil, a very standard theory that is accepted by every ufologist, every metaphysician, and anyone that has ever breathed the vapors of the rare Nwanda plant. We all know that it's possible that our dimension melds into the parallel brain of another dimension, at which point the realities flip and we become almost a cross archetype.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I said, yeah, I agree with it.
I ain't buying it. I'm not buying it because I don't have enough money to buy it. And if I did have the money to buy it, I would not buy it unless I've seen the price come down on whether I'm going to buy it or not.
You know what, Bud? You are good with just, I don't have enough money. Read that as, I don't have the brains.
All right, guys, Margaret made a very good point. If you clowns are trying to take me down Ha Ha Avenue here with something that is deathly serious.
Phil, I'm not good. The last guy that went ha 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 was that one right there. And I tried to keep his, I held his feet to the fire, and you let him get away, the little.
Oh, God, it was ha ha la la.
Yeah, right there, see? Do you hear what you did?
We're not going back to ha 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 ha, okay? I agree with Margaret. I think it's a terribly serious thing, and since neither one of you knuckleheads have a better idea, I believe the plane has crashed.
All right, if it's crashed, where?
Yeah, there's a good question, Phil. Where?
Well, I mean, this is a part of the world.
Yeah, where, Phil?
Oh, you're going to let me finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Where's it crashed?
This is a part of the world.
Yeah, where did it crash?
Will you guys let me finish? This is a part of the world that has thick jungle, thick growth of trees and this is a part of the world where an individual, an aircraft even, can get lost for years if it lands in the middle of all of that forest, all of that rainforest, very, very remote from any settlements. And I believe that if this aircraft went down in an area like that, even a 777, even a plane as big as that, it's going to be a while before they find it. Now, doesn't the black box, General, have this transponder we hear so much about?
Yes, there's a transponder, and if it is activated, obviously it is sending a radio signal. Now, you have to triangulate that, and right now the question is, have they been able to pick up this signal and Do they recognize it as the transponder signal from the aircraft, or is it just a beeping noise that they, you know, I suppose if it's a beeping noise.
Well, in On the Beach, if you saw that film, there was a Coke bottle that one of the humans that since died from the radiation had put on the ledge, and the wind blew the Coke bottle, and it was hitting the telegraph key, the Morse key, and it was going beep, 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 but it didn't make any sense.
Yeah. So what about it? Well, if you've got the same... Well, there's no radiation, but the if there are humans... If there are humans that aren't too bright, then you could have that, yeah.
In other words, if we got humans that are listening... Oh.
You guys are about as much fun. You're about as much help as the man said, as a G-string in a snowstorm. You know that?
Boy, Henry, you really love to lord it over people, don't you?
Well, Phil, I did the best I could.
Thank you very much.
Well, what's with you?
Hey, come on, General. Give me a break, will you? Beep, 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 beep.
Well, General, did the best they could.
Yeah, so they tell me. World-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm telling you right now that that's a very serious... I'll tell you what happened. The plane has crashed somewhere. God knows where. They'll find it. But it is off of the radar because the plane is down. And it's a terribly, terribly sad situation. And I hope to God that... I hope somebody has survived. It's highly, highly doubtful. But we'll see what the black box has to say. And first thing they have to do is locate it. There must be some kind of a radio signal that is being transmitted. As of this hour, though, this Beijing-bound flight from Malaysia, missing. World-famous Phil Henry Show.